I would direct you to the second chapter to the Hebrews in the first three verses. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The second chapter to the Hebrews, and the first two and a part of the third verse. I think that more than once or twice I have called your attention to this word, therefore. There are more of those in the Epistle to the Hebrews than in any other. And they are of great importance. For it shows the reason for what is said or declared or commanded. The reason of it. And this is a profound epistle. Therefore, of course, that therefore contains especially these two chapters. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Therefore, why? Why should we give the more earnest heed? Well, in the first place, it is because of the first word in the first chapter, God. God in Christ, the dignity of His person, His sovereignty in the world, He made it. And it is a dignity above any other creature, for under which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. There's another reason. There's many others, but there's another reason in the first verse of the fourth chapter. Let us therefore fear. Why? Lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. That's the reason. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. That is, as well as unto them in the wilderness. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness. They were brought out of Egypt. They were brought out of the world. They never got to heaven. They fell in the wilderness. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. And the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So they were unbelievers. And through unbelief they were brought out of Egypt, but fell in the wilderness. That's very solemn. And that's in this second letter, therefore. Let us therefore fear, lest we become like one of those. Attend the chapel all your life and hear the truth. And yet, fall. You can't fall from grace, but you can fall from a profession of it. Wherefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So there are times and conditions which are of such a nature that the things of God and the things that we hear preached and what are revealed in the Word of God, we let them slip. Something else comes in. Our carnality gets strong. The things of God get dim and far off. The world becomes near. It slips. Asaph said, my feet had well nigh slipped. Gone. My feet had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He was nearly gone. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And for that we need faith. And we need that the Word of God by the Spirit should be as a nail fixed in a sure place. And that sure place, in one sense, is the new heart of the new man of grace. Oh, but the nails that were in a sure place were in Calvary, in the sacred hands and feet of the Redeemer, his sufferings for the sins of his people. Oh, if we could but know him more and know ourselves as he sees us. I've often responded in my mind when I have thought of what it cost the Lord Jesus. Am I worth it? Oh, if you take notice of these texts, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard and see what is inside of the therefore. A different thing. There are two different therefores to what we refer to. And there is another therefore in these three chapters. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Consider him. In the first chapter we have considered him. His glory, his beauty, is its equality with God. His dignity, his eternity. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, do we? You heard a lot. You think of them. And think of this divine person who is immutable, eternal, and we have heard of him, his gospel, his grace, heard of him as the Redeemer, the Savior of the world. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We give a lot of heed to the things of time. We are very careful concerning our possessions and our things which the flesh go after. And we secure them in a safe place. We ought to give the more earnest heed. And this more earnest is important. We could read it like this. Therefore, we ought to give a more heed to the things we have heard, but the more earnestly, not only a more earnestly in diligence than we have done, but more earnest in comparison with everything else. And sometimes when the Lord touches your heart to do, you say, let it all go. Yes, we're not called upon, as some have been. They've been called upon to lose all they've got. Abraham did. When the Lord called him to go to a place he knew not where, but he obeyed. He took nothing with him of his possessions. But the Lord maintained him. How much have you lost for Christ? And oh, my friends, if he loves you, he'll bring you into some trying places. You'll lose some things that you very much prized. Yes, and you'll find that at first, tribulation doesn't give you patience. It makes you rebellious. But when the Lord is in it, then tribulation works it. The Holy Spirit works it, takes it, plunges you into a trial, takes some dear one from you, brings you into a position that you can't get out. Surround you with impossibilities. And there's teaching in it all. That may appear to be a very simple thing, but when the Lord is doing that with his people, he really is underlining all his dealings with that message. I know. You don't. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I know. And there's been a comfort to some poor souls that have been robbed right down, the Lord knows. Poor Jeremiah, you would rather have died than lived. He has to die. He felt he couldn't go on. He'd rather die than live. But oh, you read on from there. And how the Lord comforted poor Jeremiah. I will entreat the enemy for thee, and it shall be well with thy remnant, Jeremiah. I've got it in hand. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, the promises that are spoken. The thing is, my friend, that we need faith. Nothing else can give us this diligence and give us to feel the importance of the Word of God, especially when He fulfills it. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them leak out. I think that's the margin. Or run out as leaking vessels. And sometimes we may mourn because we're such leaky vessels. You may appreciate the truth. But oh, the carnality of our minds. What you long for is what we were trying to talk about the other day. The mystery which is hidden from ages, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You take Him where you go. He goes with you. He went with his disciples into prison. He was with Daniel in the lion's den. He was with Jonah in the belly of hell. See what He is. He's omniscient. He can see everything and everywhere. And He has declared of Himself, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. That is a declaration of His absolute sovereignty. And He makes a challenge upon the ground of that sovereignty. Is there anything too hard for me? He speaks like that to His people for their encouragement. He challenges them. Some of you may have got circumstances which is enough to break your heart. But if the Lord speaks such a word as that, why, it loses its influence, its power. Why? Because it takes the sting out of the affliction and brings you into whatsoever condition you're in to this. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Work it. There's that working again. It doesn't steal it. You can't produce it. Work it. And that working in is a kingdom. It's the authority of the King. It's the work of the Holy Ghost. Worketh for us the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why? Because we look not at the things that are seen, but of things which are not seen. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. A change of circumstances might make it slip. You may be as prosperous in your soul under poverty and pain. But if you had a legacy left you, and your pain and affliction departed, it would be a dangerous place to let it slip. And that's why the Lord weighs his people down, brings you in a place where you can't slip, for he's holding you fast under affliction. Brings you to be bound in affliction and iron. You don't slip much there. It's when we're at ease in Zion, everything's all right. But oh, we haven't time to go into these things, but you know it well. In Habakkuk, everything was wrong. I don't know what some farmers would think. Wonderful thing if they could have the grace of Habakkuk. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vine, and the labor of the olive shall fail, and there be no grass in the field, no herd in the stall. What a case. But he had attended unto the things he'd heard from heaven. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I would joy in the God of my salvation. Thou, O God, remaineth forever. That's in the first chapter. That's another reason. Therefore, that thou art the same. Thy years shall not fail. The same. He's the same when you change. He's the same to you. If you're brought into adversity and your business fails, or you may lose your dear ones, he's the same, and his years shall not fail. And what he is in his eternity, so he is in all that he does for his people. He cannot fail. And yet, he brings us into a position as though it seems that he has failed, but he hasn't. His sovereignty is immutable. None can alter him. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Let us then, my dear friends, take heed and fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, into heaven, any of you should seem to have come short of it. And what does that mean? Any of you should see why some alteration has come. And it seems now that whereas one time you entered into the promise, and the promise there is heaven, but you've had some prosperity. prosperity. Your case in Providence is changed, and you have let the things of God slip and appear as though you found a treasure on earth which has eclipsed that glorious treasure in heaven. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest any of you should seem to come short of it. Looks as though you have your interest even in the things of God is brought very low. You're in a state of a soul decay. Be a mercy if we left thus to bring us low, if the Lord in his mercy will come as he did to the prodigal. Yes, the prodigal, he didn't give any more earnest heed to the things of his father's house. As long as he got all he wanted for the flesh, he was off. The Lord was following him up. What a mercy if the Lord is following up any that have gone away from the truth. He can bring them back. For the word spoken by angels, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? What way of escape is there? What will you do to escape the just judgments of God and his punishment? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now the thing is, what is it to neglect it? You may attend every service and neglect it. You would neglect it if you took no more earnest heed of the things that are spoken. You neglect it. Of course it is neglected if you cease to attend the appointed means of grace. That is to neglect so great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Great salvation. And the greatness of the salvation is in two things mainly. It is the greatness of the condition from which his people are saved. Look at this. Hate of our nature. It's only a great salvation can ever deliver from it. But look at the greatness of the Redeemer. Those two things really make the greatness of salvation. The greatness of the sins and the nature of sin, which brought in the curse upon the world, and the greatness of the Redeemer in redemption. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Of course, that takes us to the Savior. And it pleased the Father that the Lord Jesus should be the Redeemer. All his work was by divine appointment in the covenant of grace between the Blessed Trinity. That's where the covenant was made and made between the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If we neglect a so great salvation, and we shall only know how great the salvation is in the Holy Ghost revealing to us those two points, the greatness of our sinnership and the greatness of the Savior. And if you know those two, if even there are times when we backslide and let them slip, yet, my friends, it won't be long, if you belong to the Lord, that he will allow you to stay there. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I believe we refer, I'm not sure, to the condition of the evil times before the deluge, when the Lord was to destroy the world by water. They had no way of escape. There were eight souls, but one of those was not a child of God. There was only seven in the ark that had grace in their heart, and that was Ham, and he was a wicked man. And the greatness of this salvation then is, first, as we are taught, what we are. Now, I have felt in this last 12 months, since I was ill, all that thing showed me, all that thing is burnt up, thrown overboard, and seen one thing that is greater than them all, sin. Just like a tremendous S-I-N, which was greater than everything else. You'd bear your pains, your sorrows, your losses, your heart griefs, if you saw your sins of your nature from head to foot, inside and outside. And it is upon that ground that we read our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and it may be a pain, a deep sorrow, and it may be for a lifetime. Wonder what it is. To see the Redeemer in his redemption, as we've been trying to speak a little about, it would be a great salvation to be saved from it. Oh, if we have faith, we shall believe in the truth. In the first place, we shall have that blessed knowledge of God, that he is, not was. When he said to those proud Pharisees, "You're not yet 50 years old, and didst thou know Abraham?" Oh, the glory of his reply, "Before Abraham was, I am." Not "I was," "I am." Oh, could we but have by the Spirit a sense of the glory of God, which is focused, if I might so speak, in Christ. Everything, the government was his. The government was upon his shoulder. That was according to the agreement of the covenant of grace. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, what a great salvation it needs. It needed 10 plagues to bring his people out of Egypt. And really, my friend, I feel for myself it needed as much to bring me out. The Lord doesn't allow some of his people to go so far. But oh, if he has, and lays you stricken at his without a word to say, and you know the greatness of salvation is bigger than you are, is bigger than your sins are, to swallow it up. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, that's when he was here. He only began to speak of it, he was only here 3 years. And it was in the covenant of grace, the work of the Holy Ghost appointed to him as much as the work of redemption was appointed to the Lord Jesus. We could as much do without the Lord Jesus as we could the Holy Spirit. We need it all, and it all fits the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Ghost wraps it all up. Wherefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, and that was spoken by angels, and how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that are heard?